made it through another Lent. 6 long weeks. 6 long weeks of self-reflection, of trying to remove things from our lives that distracted us from Jesus, from the divine, from our relationships with them. Taking on new practices that might strengthen our relationship with them. Are we closer to Jesus because of it? I hope so. It's been a long Holy Week, too. That week that we move from the light into the darkness and then come back up out on the other side. We began Holy Week with shouts of Hosanna. Hosanna, both the meaning of praise and the other meaning of please help us. Praise, please help us. We got to hear how Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, totally threw them off balance. That's what the servant does. That's what you do before you come into the house because they've been walking in the streets and the streets are full of sewer and it's gross and it's not something of anybody who has stature is going to do. They're going to push it off to the servant. But Jesus did it, washed the feet of his disciples. And he said to them, little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. You will look for me. Lifelong journey for that. He gave us a new commandment, a little different than one that we had heard before, because this one says that you are to love one another just as I have loved you. You should love one another. Not just love your neighbor as yourself. They know that one. Jesus did what Jesus does and pushed it to a new level as they see what Jesus was doing for them, that love that he gave for them. We were to share that same love with others. We heard this week how one of Jesus' friends, one of his trusted insiders, betrayed him. We heard how a deeply grieving Jesus went into the garden to pray. He prayed multiple times if it was possible to let the cup pass from him. Is this what has to happen? If it is, okay. Grieving in his humanity. We got to hear this week as we moved from the light down into the deepest of our darkness, Jesus being arrested. Another lesson he gave us. Those who die by the sword, use the sword, die by the sword. We're not to live by it. Jesus came as a Messiah, but he came in peace. Jesus had told them, but they sure enough did, because we got to hear how the disciples fled. They were afraid. They scattered. We got to hear how the rock, how the strongest, the foundation disciple, the church was going to be built upon this rock, how Peter denied Jesus 3 times. We got to hear this week how Jesus was tried. He was beaten. He was crucified. But today we peek out of the other side. Today is Resurrection Day. Today we spring forth out of that darkness and into the light. But Mary started in darkness. She went. Why did she go? We don't really know, because in this gospel, she's not going to anoint Jesus for burial. That's already happened. Mary's being drawn to Jesus. Why? What was it that made such a connection and such a relationship? And I can only imagine what Mary's life had been like before she met Jesus, what any woman's life was like, what any outsider, outcast, leper, sick, lame, blind, all of those that society had said, you're not worth it. But Jesus restored Mary's life and community. Now Jesus is dead, yet she's still being drawn to him. And she gets there, and the stone is rolled away. It's empty, and she panics. She'd given her life to him. He had given life to her, and now he's not there. But Mary does what would be expected, is she runs back to the community that Jesus created, that community in which she was welcomed, loved, and equal. And she tells them what she saw. And Peter and the disciple that Jesus loved, the other disciple, they responded. They believed her. And they ran. They ran to the tomb. The beloved disciple, the one that Jesus loved, got there first. He didn't go in. It's like he knew. This isn't something you enter into by yourself. You go together in community, and he waited for Peter. Peter went in and he saw. The disciple that Jesus loved went in and saw. They saw wrappings. They saw, yes, Jesus was gone. But there's one thing that happened there. The disciple that Jesus loved believed. He believed. Not fully, not understanding what it was, but the word is there. For me, we are this disciple. We're the disciple that Jesus loved, the unnamed disciple. We lounged at Jesus' feet, learning, wanting to have an intimate relationship. We have the courage as resurrection people to actually go to the cross and to watch it, not run away and hide, to be there. And as that other disciple, the disciple that Jesus loved, we know that community is how we get through this journey, and we wait for others and learn and enter into it. And so he believed, and he left. He and Peter go back into hiding where they were. It says they went back home, but it goes back to the home in which they were staying in. And then there was Mary, there, not being comforted by her friends. She was there and she wept. What darkness. But Jesus speaks her name, and it's in that calling of her name that her life changed again. That hope re-entered into who she was. She heard him, and she listened to him. She became the first evangelist because Jesus told her to go and to tell. She did. She shared the good news. From the light to the dark and back to the light again. Holy Week sounds so familiar to me. I think it does because I think that it sounds like my life. We have, on our spiritual journey into the body of Christ, into our humanity, we have moments of light and celebration, and we have moments of great darkness and despair that we'll never get through without one another and the love of God. We long to live into the light. And like the disciple that Jesus loved, we long to be in community, to continue our journey, to learn, to grow. This community, the body of Christ, is what we call the church. It's not a building. It's the people. Today at the nine, we gathered around this font. We stood before our Paschal candle, our Christ candle, our candle that comes out during Easter. It comes out at baptisms throughout the year. It comes out at funerals because it symbolizes new life. We gathered here with Tristan and his family and his godparents, and we had said already that we would support him because we know that Tristan can't go through this by himself and through this water. We made a new Christian. This isn't the only time of the year. We're going to do it pretty soon with Bradley coming up. And we're excited about that too. But it's what we do. Baptism comes in many different shapes and sizes. In her book, Searching for Sunday, Rachel Held Evans writes, "Whether you meet the waters of baptism as a baby squirming in the arms of a nervous priest, or as an adult plunged into a river by a revivalist preacher, you do it at the hands of those who first welcome you to faith, the people who have or will introduce you to Jesus." Will Willimon, theologian, writes, "In baptism, the recipient of baptism is just that, a recipient. You can't very well do your own baptism. It's done to you. And it's done for you." Rachel says it's an adoption, it's not an interview. We don't have to fully understand it. And that's what we did today with Tristan, and that's what we'll do for others. As we move through this season of resurrection, help us know the importance of the disciple that Jesus loved. Because it's you. Know that as you walk and as you move, as at times you sprint to find Jesus, that there will be dark times. No one said that Christianity was going to be easy, but that's why we do it together. Amen.